Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Friday, September 11th, 2020. And man, we got some good things to talk about here on the show, some things I'm super excited about. But before we do that, of course, let's talk about a little bit of our housekeeping here. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk. That's M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can email the show at theenthusedlife@gmail.com. And if you want to help support the show, this is kind of your last shot here. We're getting ready to do our latest patron episode next week. You can help support the show. You can find that link down in the show notes, get early access to that podcast, as well as get access to our exclusive Discord. So you can find that again down in the show notes. And it's crazy, man. It's September 11th. You know, I don't want to sit here and dwell on just the impact of that day. I mean, obviously, many of you, I'm sure, can remember that day. But, you know, living in New York, it really was a very surreal time. You know, I didn't live in New York City. I was in Albany, the capital. I was actually in college that day in class. And I mean, just to see the way Albany transformed of, you know, from when I went into class and literally by the time I got out, everything had pretty much happened by that point. I think I got out at like 11 out of class. It was pretty insane. So, you know, to anybody who is affected by losing somebody on that day, our hearts and prayers still go out to you. And, you know, it's definitely a day that I know we've, my wife and I, and even, you know, my family, my parents and that, we always sit back and kind of reflect on that day every single year. It's definitely a day we just can never forget. But let's move on from that and talk about some of the big things that Ubisoft announced yesterday. I mean, that's a terrible transition, right? To get away from September 11th to suddenly we're talking video games, people. So I'm sorry to kind of transition like that, but it's just something that I needed to talk about here in the show just briefly there. But let's talk about this Ubisoft Forward. As promised, Ubisoft had another event, basically. Kind of this is their way of filling in the gaps that has been missing from E3, and they had some awesome announcement. And the biggest one for me was definitely the one right off the bat, the one game that everybody had been just kind of wanting to know. This game, Gods and Monsters, that we did hear had its name changed, hadn't really heard much in a while. It has now been brought to the forefront, and it's a game called Immortals Fenyx Rising. Now, if you remember, this was that game that actually looked a lot like Breath of the Wild. We saw this, I think it was last E3, or it might have been even before that. Even they showed a quick little glimpse of the game. It is coming out December 3rd on the Switch, the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, and Stadia. The game just looks incredible, man. Like the art style of it and everything just looks so cool. It really does look a lot like Breath of the Wild, kind of in, I don't want to say it's cel-shaded, but just kind of in the coloring of it. Everything's very bright, very vibrant. We're going to play this character that is literally living in a Greek mythology-inspired world. So you're not in, like, ancient Greece. You're in what the world would be if all those gods lived there. And essentially, there's this leader of the pact. I think they call him like the ultimate titan. I forget what his name is. If you go, just definitely go watch the little bit. It's like a 9-minute video from Ubisoft Forward, and they get into some of the detail of the lore. But essentially, he's from the underworld. He's bringing in all these minions to come in, and they're kind of basically wreaking havoc across this you know, mythological world. And you need to go out and take down some of the gods and titans that are there to then get their powers for you then to be able to go and go through this ultimate battle. So sounds very much like Breath of the Wild, if you ask me. You're going out, getting these abilities that you can use. I'm just going to take a guess here, say maybe you don't need to go get all the powers. You might be able to finish the game. Very Breath of the Wild-like, right? But we see scenes of, you know, them shooting an arrow, them gliding around. We even have a shot that looks straight out of Breath of the Wild where the character is climbing the side of a mountain or the side of a cliff. This is a game that I want to play. Oh my God. Like, it just looks so great. It really has kind of that open world look to it, like Breath of the Wild did, almost a game where you're creating your own story. They even said that there's going to be a narrative basically told by Zeus and Prometheus, I think, are the two. And it almost makes me wonder, like, if they're going to be kind of talking, having a conversation, and then talking about us as the character, and then we go play those moments. And even though, I mean, it's going to be the whole game, and then every once in a while we'll get a cutscene back to them describing what we did or, you know, whatever the accomplishment is that we did in the game, which is one thing that Breath of the Wild did kind of lack. I mean, that's what I said with Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. I'm looking forward to getting more of that story from Breath of the Wild. And because the game kind of lacked those moments and lacked that, this game, to bring all those gameplay elements plus then have an epic story like that, I mean, I think this is going to be awesome. I'm not going to go on record and say I think it's going to be better than Breath of the Wild, because still Breath of the Wild to me is top three, if not my favorite game of all time. Like, it is just an incredible video game for what that game brought to the table. But I think this definitely looks like it is something that I want to play. You know, a lot of people, a lot of buzz was coming out around this game. There is going to be, this is kind of a weird thing they're doing too. They're doing an exclusive demo on Stadia. So as long as you have it, then that's funny the way they kind of said it. It's like, as long as you got a Gmail account, you're good. So basically sign up for Stadia, kind of the free version of Stadia. And when you log in, you're going to get the demo for this game when that is released. So it's not out there yet, but I'm definitely going to be jumping into that. And I think the cool thing is it's a demo specifically made just to be the demo. It's like its own little island, its own area, because that's part of the game, is you're going to go to these different areas that are different themed. So, you know, different settings and the creatures you're fighting and all that there are going to be different. And so the demo itself is going to have its own area. Now, wouldn't surprise me if there's things that would carry over from the demo, but then they would mean you would need to then be playing on Stadia, which seems to be kind of what they're going to be pushing here. I'll be honest, I ain't going to be playing on Stadia. I don't even know if I'm going to be playing on what I'm going to be playing on. You know, it's definitely, man, this game looks great. Go out there and check out the footage of that game. We also got word, this was kind of a pretty terribly kept secret, and that is that the Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, is getting a remake. So the 2003 game is getting remade here. It's going to be launching in 2021 for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the PC. I guess it's going to have, it's totally rebuilt from the ground up, running on Ubisoft's Anvil engine. It's going to have improved combat, some new camera controls, which, you know, the original game didn't have all that, but same character, same story. I would want to know, like, I wonder if they're really going to switch up some of that story as well, kind of something like Final Fantasy VII Remake did. Who knows? But it's coming out January 21st. So if you were into that game, there you go. Now it is being touted right now for just Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Doesn't say next gen. However, I think as we're all kind of assuming that they're both PS4 and Xbox One games will be backwards compatible on the Series X, the S, and the PS5. So either way, maybe you can play this game there. Whether or not it would be an up-res version of that, I don't know. But hey, I know a lot of people are big Prince of Persia fans. I never really was. At that time, 2003... Man, I was so deep playing Halo, like, in that. Like, I remember those games coming out. I remember, like, almost vividly going to Target with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and, like, just kind of walking around and seeing the game, whatever. It was probably Sands of Time or one of those games that kind of came out around that point, and thinking, like, huh, like, I wonder if I would be interested in that game. And I remember seeing, like, watching G4 or whatever, you know, and them showing gameplays and watching or reading the reviews and that on IGN and that. But it's never really a game that really spoke to me. Like, it wasn't a game series I wanted to play. So, you know, maybe this is my time. Maybe kind of jumping in here at this point would be a good time to kind of get into that series and see what it's all about. That's why, like, when the movie came out, Prince of Persia, like, I didn't really care to see it because I just didn't have that nostalgia. Like, the Prince of Persia I remember is the old school PC Prince of Persia that I did have years ago that was impossibly hard when I was a kid and was just like, man, this game is not for me. So maybe that's why I just don't have that affinity for Prince of Persia. But, you know, maybe this will be the time to jump in there. Let's see. They did also announce a new game that I didn't know anything about. I think this was a completely new reveal, and that is a game called Riders Republic. And this is basically an open world extreme sports game, kind of similar. It's actually coming from the people that made the game Steep, but it is a massive multiplayer game. It's going to feature all kinds of different, as they're quoting, adrenaline pumping activities, including biking, wingsuiting, skiing, snowboarding, and more. They're actually going to use, like, these huge maps. They're going to have GPS data from, I guess, a bunch of U.S. national parks. You can go to these parks and find other people there to do these things with. You can race up to 50 people at once racing. This is going to be PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X and S, Google Stadia, and PC. God, it sucks to have to list all those consoles, doesn't it now? Like, it was always great when we just had like two options or three, including PC. Like, that was when it was good. But coming February 25th. So if extreme sports is your thing, maybe this is a game for you. I think it would be neat to see, like, what does that mean, a massively multiplayer game? Like, are we looking at something like a Burnout Paradise, where that was almost a multiplayer car driving game, and kind of the way they handled things where you're getting unlockables and that enabled to kind of pull them against, you know, races and these other, going against other players in these larger maps. Maybe that's what it's going to be. There is, of course, the trailer kind of out there. It looks good graphically. I mean, it looks neat, you know, and having all these different activities is cool. It's just, I don't think it's something that I would really spend too much time on. You know, it seems like you need to just be a certain kind of player to really, really dig into that. You know, maybe if you're someone who loves like the skate series and, you know, you're always there for Steep or any of those snowboarding games, like if that's your thing, or, you know, Tony Hawk games, like if that's your thing, maybe this is for you. But I don't know, for me it's not. But hey, I'm glad it exists. It looks cool, and the only real intriguing part to me is, how is this going to be a massively multiplayer game? That's what I want to see. Is how they're going to pull that off. Let's see, we are getting the return of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game. The complete edition, as they're dubbing it, so you get the game plus two different DLCs, some character add-ons that come with it. And, you know, this was a game that came out, geez, over a decade ago, and was pulled off marketplaces. You couldn't download it anymore. And I remember when this came out, I want to say it was maybe a Summer of Arcade game. It was like a big deal because the movie was out, and it actually, well, Scott Pilgrim is based off a comic, right? I think, or it is a comic. And so when that came out, it was a big deal at the time, but then just was removed from storefronts. Couldn't find it anywhere. So now it's coming for the Switch, the Xbox One, the PS4, PC, and Stadia. So hey, I know there's a lot of people out there excited about that. If it is a game that you maybe had always heard about, always wanted to check out, now is the time for you to get in there, I guess, and play that. So I don't think we got a release date for it yet, but it is going to be coming fairly soon. I don't think it's going to be that long on that one. Let's see, Rainbow Six Siege, they announced it is coming to next-gen consoles, of course, surprising no one. It is going to be running in 4K and 120 frames per second, which is insane. You get a free next-gen upgrade for existing PS4 and Xbox One owners, which is awesome. I do own that game digitally on my PS4. And they also did announce a new Rainbow Six Siege World Cup, which is awesome. I don't know. You know, I didn't look in the details of that. I know last time they did a real big Rainbow Six Siege competition, they actually had the finals here in Raleigh in North Carolina, which is where Red Storm is located, who does a lot of the just Ubisoft competitive Rainbow Six Ghost Recon games. And I didn't know about it till that weekend. And had I known, man, we definitely would have went. Like, I want to go see competitive shooters. Like, it's exciting to go. I think we talked about this on a Patreon episode somewhat recently. So I'm interested to see where those finals are going to be, because if they do them again here in Raleigh, I'm going to do everything I can to get there, because I definitely want to check that out. They also did announce, well, let's put it this way. They didn't announce a new Splinter Cell game yet again, but they did announce a new season of content coming to Rainbow Six Siege based on Splinter Cell's Sam Fisher. So take that for what it is. I know fans out there, I know people just want their Splinter Cell. No, they do not want to give you a Splinter Cell. They don't want to give it to you. Not at all. Let's see. We did get a new trailer for Watch Dogs Legions, or Legion. They did announce that the famous London rapper Stormzy, will be available in the game, as well as Aiden Pierce, who was the protagonist from the original game. He is going to be there as a playable character in an upcoming DLC expansion. I don't know, man. That's just not a game that I'm just kind of hit or miss on Watch Dogs Legions. I don't know. The first game, I played it, never finished it, never played the second one. I've heard some good things about that one. It just seems like a game that I just don't, there's other games out there I would rather play than Watch Dogs. If it drops as like a Game Pass game, or we get it free for like a PlayStation Plus or an Xbox Live Gold game, I'll be in on it. But other than that, I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's a game that's really up my alley. Other than that, that was pretty much all the big things really coming out of this Ubisoft Forward. I believe there's actually going to be one more Ubisoft event actually after this as well. So who knows? Maybe that'll be the Splinter Cell event that everybody is waiting for. Maybe that'll be the time we finally get our Splinter Cell, right? I don't know. Just got to wait and see. Switching gears here away from video games, let's talk about this information. This is coming from, this was over on CNET. Ewan McGregor, also known as Obi-Wan Kenobi, was talking to CNET. I guess it was actually their site Entertainment. Entertainment Tonight. We're talking to them, saying that he's definitely confirmed that the filming for the streaming service series is set to begin in the spring. So the Obi-Wan standalone series coming to Disney Plus is going to start filming in the spring. But he did say this. He says, "I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great, I think. As I understand, it's a standalone season. We'll see. Who knows?" What? I mean, is that cool? Is that what people want? Like, is that all the money they had to afford Ewan? Like, are we just doing one season because maybe that's just what they feel? Like, where does that season end? Does it end up with, they were talking in our Discord, does it end with him on Tatooine, you know, observing Luke? Is that where we go? Do we go to a Darth Maul confrontation? You know, we see that in Rebels. Do we get to that point? Like, I don't know where this ends up, this series. And, you know, if it is just standalone, is that enough? Like, is that what we would want? You know, I think obviously everybody would want as much as they could get, but, you know, they could really kind of set the tone by making each of those episodes that much more impactful rather than like The Mandalorian, where it's kind of the story of the week. This really could be a much larger, you know, sure, it's going to be a television series, but it could be much more looked at as a larger narrative. So much more of a longer movie per se. I don't know, man, but just the idea of McGregor coming back as Obi-Wan still is like surreal to think of that. And the fact that we're not too far off. I mean, I think if they're filming in the spring, I mean, I would be thinking probably fall 2021, even winter 2022, maybe we would finally get some Obi-Wan action. Cause I mean, hey, they turned around The Mandalorian pretty quick. So we'll see. And, you know, I would want to know, are we going to get some Ahsoka in there then? I mean, obviously we are getting our Ahsoka in The Mandalorian, hopefully very soon. Maybe we'll get that in Obi-Wan as well. Who knows? We just got to just wait and see. Speaking of people reprising their roles, Neve Campbell, it's been revealed, is going to be returning in another Scream movie. That's right, Scream 5. I never saw Scream 4. And almost kind of want to, because I mean, the Scream movies were, when I was in high school, those movies were coming out. I mean, those were like date nights for my wife and I going to see those movies. So as, I don't want to say corny as those movies are, but you know, come on. I mean, they're not overly scary, but they just hold like a special place in my heart. You know, they're not like Freddy Krueger. They're not Hellraiser or anything like that. It was like, these were movies that when they came out, it was the return of the horror movie. I remember that being a big deal, like Wes Craven, like creating this somewhat reality-based horror movie. I mean, you had the characters in there were people like me in high school, you know, it just, you could relate to them. Me at that time, I could relate to the characters in this movie, which I'm sure same thing in the 80s. People could relate to those in the Friday the 13th movies and all that. But like for me, this was the generation for me. And, you know, the idea of those characters being somewhat self-aware of there being other horror movies. And you had, I can't think of his name, Jamie Kennedy, like his character commenting on all the tropes of horror movies, especially in that first film, saying all those things. Like it just resonated with so many people. And then of course they, you know, kind of dug it in the ground, jumped the shark, whatever you want to call it, doing the sequels after that. But you know, whenever Halloween rolls around and I see that Scream is on, I gotta put at least the first one on always. So I would be interested to see. I'm not gonna say I'm excited for this. I mean, if you're gonna do one of these now, you gotta have Neve Campbell. I think she, you know, needs to come back in these films. It's great. This is actually, I think, the fifth time. Like, she's been coming back every single time. Supposedly, even David Arquette and Courtney Cox will be coming back, which I think is kind of crazy, you know, that they're going to be coming back as well, getting the whole cast together. I mean, that's kind of the world we live in now, right? In this Netflix age where we're kind of reprising all these series. But hey, I'm all in. I'm all in for a Scream, another Scream. And, you know, hey, it was funny, like we're entering, you think about it now, we're entering the Halloween season. The store I work at, pharmacy I work at, you know, we're a big box store. We have our Halloween stuff out now. It's that time of year, people. Can you believe it? Like we're already in that time. I mean, what is it? September 21st? Isn't that the solstice when we kind of officially go into fall? not that far away. Like, fall is almost officially here. So all those scary movies, all those things are going to start dropping, and all the marathons on TV and all that. So give me some more Scream. I don't know when this is going to come out. My guess is probably next year is when we'll probably be getting it. But I'm all in. I'm ready for it. Yes, give me more scary stuff. Which, hey, Netflix is going to be, I think, be taking care of us here this year. We definitely have some good, good shows coming to Netflix here. Especially the, what is the one? The Bly Manor, Haunting at Bly Manor. Man, I can't wait for that show. I think that's going to be one hell of a scary show. And like I mentioned before, if you haven't watched The Haunting at Hill House, go watch that show, man. It is awesome. Absolutely love that show. But all right, well, that's going to do it for me, everybody. Thank you here, of course, for joining me this week. And of course, today, for tuning into the show. Like I said, you pretty much have till this weekend. If you would like to become a patron and be a part of our next podcast here, you can find that link down in the show notes. Don't forget, Chris and I, are doing the Tardy TARDIS, our Doctor Who podcast. If you want to check that out, you can check out. We just put out a new episode here today as well called Fear Her. This was from season 2, episode 12. Which we, you know, if you've never watched Doctor Who, it's okay. That's kind of the whole point of the show, is we haven't either, and we're kind of going through each of the episodes. So now is a great time to catch up if you're looking to jump into a new show and one that's just kind of funny and silly. Doctor Who is just, it's a blast. We have so much fun talking about it every single week. But other than that, everybody, thank you as always. And until next time, we'll catch you later.